למנצח על ידותון מזמור לדוד. The question is this being offered by David, and therefore what is the word ידותון? Is that the name of a author? Rashi and Radak also both posit the possibility that ידותון is the name of an instrument. Radak throws perhaps the name of the mishorer. The mishorer in this case would be the musician, whereas the author is clearly Mizmor le David. Rashi, however, then cites a medrash which Rabbi Shimshon Reisael Hirsch picks up on. That medrash says that the word yedutun comes from the word din vedat. A dat in modern Hebrew means a religion, but a dat actually is a decree. Kol yodei dat vadin. All those who know the decrees and the law. Al hadatot ve'al hadinim. A decree means that you have a one time, what we would call an executive order. A din is a law which does not depend on the executive suddenly declaring it. It's been there, it's the way it is, that's the way the rule is. That's the din, the law. And Rabbi Shimshon Reisael Hirsch wants us to understand that things like look like happenstance, decrees coming out of nowhere, or what we might call your fate, that kind of thing which sometimes looks like it's just a happenstance or some kind of a fluke, is actually in the hand of God. And therefore what he does is he takes that medrash, dat vadin, and tells you that in fact, even the things that look like it's one-time decrees are really part of the system of laws which the Ribbono Shel Olam does, and that system is midah keneged midah. Measure for measure. Midah keneged midah is simply declaring that God deals with us as we deal with not only him, but with others. So what you do comes back to you. The issue is that it doesn't always come when you think it's going to come. It's going to come. You just don't know when and how. That fact that it is not immediate, there's not an immediate reaction to every action that you've taken, is meant to allow for freedom of choice and decisions based on whether something is right or wrong, good or bad, as opposed to expedient. This is not about the case of pleasure and pain. This is not hedonistic. It's not because it's kedai. It's because it's the right thing to do. So we've separated reward and punishment, not because there isn't reward and punishment, but because you don't know when it's going to come to you. It will come. By hiding it, you have people making the decisions because it's the right thing to do, as opposed to simply being well-trained seals, right? Where you get a snap on the nose or you get a little herring if you did the right trick. The question is, what is this written about? Where does it come from? What is this? What is the context? On that we have a great deal of differences. Some say there is no context, it's a general story where a person is looking at his life's experience and then teaches you something. That's not the case of, as far as Sfono is concerned. And what he tells us is all this is being written about the war with Ammon. And you're going, huh? Who's that? What are you talking about? And why did he come to that conclusion? He came to that conclusion because of the word Rabbah. The capital country known as Ammon, or the people that were known as Ammon, Rabbah is its name. Rabbat Ammon means Rabbah of Ammon. And therefore, Lo Emot Rabbah is a declaration that Rabbah shall not fall, when in fact it does fall. If that's the case, this part is being said by somebody very different. We'll have to deal with this in a minute and see what happens and why he thinks that this is related. Fulmer is trying very, in a very almost pressing way to associate this with a particular event in the life of David HaMelech, whereas most everybody else doesn't think so. Radak tells us this is a good story of our Golos, and that what he's really done is perhaps taken an incident or a lot of incidents in his life and has put them down in an anthem, which begins with two sections that are quite lyrical and can be sung. And the last section, which is didactic, it's a maskil. It's meant to teach you something. So the tone changes, the music changes, and out goes your chorus. There is no longer a chorus. It's now become a learning song. Let's see what it tells us. And we'll start with this. Ach el Elokim dumia nafshi, mimenu yeshuati. Ach hu tzuri v'yeshuati, mizgabi lo emot rabba. And if you look carefully, I want you to see how many times the line begins with the word ach, 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 ach. Yeah. 6 times. Only to Hashem, only to Elohim, is my soul, my nefesh, dumia. Typically, dum means you're awaiting silently, in attention. To some it means await. To some it means silent. I'm calming my soul. You have to be able to get quiet, quietly waiting, when your initial tendency is to be raging, angry. However, in this case, only to Hashem. I rely only on Him. I trust only Him. I will await only Him. But you don't say that. He didn't start by saying, I trust God. He's saying, I will dumiya nafshi, my soul is silent. So nefesh is nekeva, dumiya is a adjective describing nefesh. My soul is silent, at attention, awaiting only for Elohim. Mimenu Yeshuati. For my salvation, the help that I look for is coming only from Him. Which means that this person is in trouble. He is in trouble. His natural tendency is to rage, to be in a panic, but he's trying to calm himself down, knowing that there's only one source for his salvation, and he has nothing but to do but quietly wait. Ach hu tzuri v'yeshuati. Only he. And he repeats the word yeshuati, but he is my tzuri. And we talked about the fact that tzuri means a rock, somebody you can lean on, something solid and not fickle, but also means the one that made me. Tzuri tzayar. He's the one that formed me. Mizgabi. And in case you didn't get it the first time, as far as something I can rely on, he's the cane on which I can rely on, the support. Lo emot. I will not tumble. I will not trip. I will not fall over. Rabba. Now, our big problem is, what is Rabba? Do you mean harbe? Fall deeply? Is that what your translations do? Greatly, an adverb. Is Rabba the place? I will not fall in Rabba, as Fona wants us to know. In other words, he's standing at a very critical juncture in a battle with Bnei Amon, and I will not fall here in Rabba. Except that there's a word missing here, and that little word is a little milot. It's called be, in, at Rabba, according to some. I will not fall in great depths. I'll fall. I'll trip. But I won't fall all the way. And therefore, Rashi suggests, I won't fall to hell. Radak argues that there's a word missing, and he puts the missing word, and that's tehom rabba. We saw that in several places. The word tehom, al pnei tehom, is the depths, the leagues, the deep, either the depths of the earth or the depths of the sea. And the word tehom is sometimes male, sometimes female. I will not fall into the great depths. It's now an adjective. But you see, for every one of these pirushim, we have a problem. Because rabba is not structured as an adverb. It's not, and if it's an adjective, what it defines is not there. And if it's rabatamon, then the word in is missing. Every one of these pirushim needs to put something in it. Except Malbim, who says if you have an adjective and you don't have something word, don't add something there. Look for the last word that it would have modified. What's the last word that is female? Yeshuati, Yeshua. Lo emot, and therefore what it means is Yeshuati is Rabba. But if that's the case, then the syntax is really off. Because you suddenly took the adjective and stuck it all the way at the very end. You understand? But everybody tries to resolve this problem. Ad ana tehotetu al ish. What is tehotetu? There is no other word like that in the entire Tanakh. So everybody tries to make sense of it. There is a word havot, hevavavtaf, and it means utter and complete destruction. Utter destruction. So how long will you cause utter destruction for or upon a ish? And who's the ish? Him? Rashi, however, throws something that we've rarely seen him do. We know this in Ibn Ezra, but rarely with him. He says in Arabic, it means to babble, to speak nonsense. How long will you blah, 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 blah about a person? Radak says, how long will you plot to bring a downfall over a man? And Rabbi Shimshon Refael Hirsch suggests that the word lehotet is similar to the word chitat. Chitat, instead of a hey and a chet, which sometimes are switched around, chitat means terror. How long will you terrorize, look to try to scare people about a man? Not scare the man, scare people about the man. Oh, he's going to do this to you, and he'll do that to you, and he'll do such and such to you. We've got to bring him down. Tiratzcho kulchem. Malbim, you will all turn into murderers. Mm-hmm. Or it's a curse. May you all be murdered. Alevai, says Ibn Ezra and Mitzudot, that you should be murdered. Kikil natui. How shall you be murdered? Oh, I'm not going to go out and actually kill you. But you'll get your comeuppance. How will you get your comeuppance? Like a teetering wall about to fall. And when that falls, on whom will it fall? On the ones in the house or outside of it? Gader hatchuya, by a pushed away fence. Well, you've seen fences that kind of like don't hold very well. They're shaky and then they finally... A fence is meant to keep people outside of your property. A wall is meant to keep somebody outside of your home. So you have a fall, and we have several possibilities. The wall falls out. When it falls down, it knocks over the fence. And now what's happened to the house? Anybody that wants to can come in and raid it. In other words, you've broken this kingdom down, not merely by destroying the king. You've in fact destroyed the boundaries that would keep our external enemies out. In your process to try to kill a person inside, what you've done is you've destroyed this and this. And now, who's going to get killed in the process? Those that plotted to kill et ha'ish. The language is a little bit obtuse, a little bit difficult for us to make sense of this in that way. Malbim explains that in the process of trying to attack the person in the house, they've gone and weakened the walls, but instead of falling on who they were intending to kill, it falls on them. But what you had plotted is actually going to boomerang and fall on you. Ah! Mis'eto ya'atsu lehadiyah. Only because he rose up in power. Only because he rose up in stature. Ya'atsu, they schemed, they planned lehadiyah, to push him off, to remove him. Yirtsu kazav. And what do they want? Because now the purpose is lehadiyah, to remove him, they will accept, even want, lies, schemes, while in their mouth they will bless him. We will speak one way very nicely while we are plotting something else and impugning all kinds of perjury, and all of this in order. And why? Because he seems to be rising. Explains Malbim as follows. He says, because they saw David rising to the throne, the idea was, how can we get rid of him? We persecuted him, we tried to kill him. When that didn't work, what did we do? We began to spread all kinds of lies about him. We wouldn't have done it except that he seemed to be getting more and more popular. It was because we saw him rising that we did this. He says, and meanwhile, through his face, we blessed him. Ubikirbam, but in their midst, in their heart, in the inside, yekalelu, sella, they continue to curse him. Sella. And now the question is, does sella mean forever? Does sella mean just a flourish? Take your pick. Radak adds, Miseto is not the ish, the man. Miseto is Elohim. It's because of God's romemut, which they did not want. They wanted to push it away, believing that if there is no one that is actually reads their minds, knows what's in their hearts, they can get away with murder. They want to believe that there is no one that sees what they're really thinking and what they're really doing. And because they don't trust that anybody is really accountable, they can speak very nicely, they can do all of this. This is why they can do this. Nevertheless, the victim of the slander and of the persecution continues to declare, Ach le'elokim domi nafshi. Please notice, no longer is he saying, my heart is silent, awaiting nafshi domiya. He's telling his heart, be quiet, be still, my soul. Ach le'elokim domi nafshi. He's talking to him. Ki mimenu tikvati, for from him is my hope. I've given up on getting any hope or any salvation from anybody else or relying on anyone else. Ahu tzuri v'yishuati misgabi. He is my support. Lo emot. I will not fall. And by not adding the word rabba, he actually makes it stronger. It's not I won't falter to hell. I won't falter in the city of rabba. I just won't fall. Period. And that's why we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Al Elokim Yish'i Uchvodi. I put upon God. Notice, not El Elokim, not Le Elokim. This time it's Al Elokim. I attribute to Hashem my salvation. Not to my kochi ve'otzem yadi. Not because I was stronger, smarter, or anything of the kind. I recognize that I put upon God. It is His, my salvation and my honor. any kavod that I got belongs to him. Tzur uzi, he's the rock of my strength. Machasi be'elokim, my refuge, my shelter is in him. If I just cleave to him, I'm sheltered. I'm okay. And now he therefore turns to everybody else. Bitchubo becholet am. Listen, nation. Trust him in every circumstance, at all times. Shifchu lefanav levavchem. Pour your hearts out to him. Can't do it to another human being, because he can't help you anyway. He's turning to those who were with him, those who fought by his side, those that later on swore fealty to him, of course, after fighting him for a long time. And he says, only to him can you pour out whatever is in your heart, including what your sins are, including your weaknesses. Pour it out to them. Why? Elokim machase lanu, for the Ribon Shelom is our shelter, not merely mine. See, a moment it was my shelter, he's our shelter. And now he switched from me to us, as he's frequently want to do, because no longer, says Radak, is this about him and any particular event that occurred in his life, but he sees his persecution as something that later on will become a mantra for the people of Israel. Persecuted, maligned. And when they see them successful and they see them doing well, all we need to do is start bashmutzing. And if you don't read the papers and you don't see what's going on, then you're seeing, right? It's wonderful for liberals to feel sorry for you when you're a drerdliger. Yeah, they like underdogs. They like to see the Jew wearing striped uniforms hunger behind barbed wire. Then they can feel sorry for him. But the Jew, as successful, as strong, Maseito, absolutely not. Ah, Hevel Bnei Adam Kazav. Human beings are but Hevel. Oh, so when his son later on will write this in Kohelet, Hevel Havalim Akol Hevel. I know they translate that as vanity, vanity. But Hevel is Harer. Harer! It's all Harer. Kazav. Falsehood. Trickery. Bnei Ish. Take all the human beings, men born of flesh and blood, b'mozdaim la'alot, and put them up on one side of the scale. Hema mehevel yachad. They weigh less than hot air. Altogether. Who's the altogether? Bnei Adam, Bnei Ish. Put them all on one side, and they weigh less than hot air. That's how much they're worth. Very cynical. See the number of times you'll have hevel, hevel. That hevel is the schemes of Bnei Adam. The schemes of Bnei Ish. When they try to do what? Get what they want by any means. Al tiftechu be'oshek u'begezel. Don't trust. Oshek is exploitation of a worker by having him do the job and then not paying him. Or Oshek, Esek. Asakim is business. Oshek is twisted business practices, where you get your hands on somebody else's money through false means. Gezel is open robbery, and I now go into your pockets and I literally pull out what's yours. I go into your house and I take it by force. Most people don't need to go to those means. They've got nicer ways of doing it. Oshek. Al tehebalu. Al tehebalu, don't make yourselves into hevel. Don't speak nonsense. Don't speak hot air. Chayil kiyanuv. People like to walk around thinking they're hot stuff. Why? For their chayil gives off fruit because it seems to work. I know they say that honesty is the best policy, but you know and I know that identity theft works. Theft works. Crooked businesses work. And they take the fact that it seems to work to make them rich, because the word yanuv comes from the word nuva, meaning it yields, it gives good yield. So you can be a Madoff, it seems to work. I know maybe eventually you'll get caught or not caught, but more often than not, you're not caught. So it seems to work. And if it works, chayil, the word chayil, right? Kochi ve'osem yadi asar li t'chayil hazeh. A chayil means your strength, chayal. But what kind of strength is it? What kind of power is there? Well, let's think. Money is power. Persuasive ability. Your words can be powerful. Physical strength is power. Military power. Chayal, right? Is power. All of those are chayil. The various forms. There's social power, where a person has stature in a society, and therefore people. So people will say, chayil ki yanuv, when you see your power giving off fruit, it seems to be yielding what you want it to be yielding, you might make the mistake of saying, ah, it works. Al tebalu, al tashitu lev. Don't pay attention to it. Don't let your heart go after that. Don't be persuaded by it, because it seems to work temporarily. People will sometimes say, if what I was doing was wrong, God wouldn't make it work. I wouldn't be so rich. I wouldn't be so successful in what I'm doing. And they use either success or the lack thereof, proof positive that what they're doing is right or wrong. Nothing of the kind. Achat diber Elokim, shtayim zu shamati. This is the most famous line of this verse. It appears in various places in Divrei Chazal. One spoke God, and I heard these two. Which two? God spoke once, but I heard these two things. And what are they? Ki oz le'elokim. For the strength that we have comes from God. It's God's. Ulecha adoshem chesed. And the Ribbono Shel Olam hallmark is love. Which means God has the wherewithal, Elokim midas hadin. There is din, but at the same time there is also chesed. And using both din and chesed, ki ata tishalem le'ish k'maaseyu, that you will pay every man according to his deeds, according to what he's done. Oh my. In another place, we hear that these are, this is the Derech HaPshat, this is the zoo. What did I hear? These are the two things. Mashma, that there's only one God. But it's two sides of one coin. And I can only perceive one thing at a time. Then one side is din, the other side is rachamim. One side is yudke vavke, one side is elokim. They are one, even if I heard two. And that strength, that din, is also chesed. It's also chesed. So I don't know God's cheshbonus. I can't see it. I have to trust that eventually I will be able to recognize that, knowing that my faith is that God will ultimately pay a person according to what his deeds are, what he has coming to him. That's the Derech HaPshat. Chazal in Masechet Makot tells us as follows. Achat diber Elokim, shtayim zu shamati. God spoke at once. And what did he say? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, asher hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim, lo yeh lecha Elohim acherim al panai. I heard them as two commandments, but they're one and the same. For if I am Hashem, your God, there can be no other gods before me. You see, it's two sides of one. So it's one thing. I heard it too. We heard those two mipi hagvura. We heard those directly from Ribbono Shel'Olam himself. We were terrified when we heard it, and so therefore we turned away and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, no, it's too much for us, you to hear and tell us the rest. And therefore, of 613 mitzvahs, Moshe Rabbeinu transmitted to us 611, two of which we heard directly. A mitzvah aseh and a mitzvah lo taseh, which are two sides of one coin, achat diber Hashem. The Mechilta tells us that all Aseret HaDibrot were said in one long breath, but the ear. Today I've reached an age where my grandchildren speak, and I said, I can't hear you talking so fast. Slow down. My ears don't catch it anymore that quickly. Slow down. So we couldn't hear it all at once. We managed to only hear the first two. In the third place, we're told, Shamor v'zachol b'dibur echad. Achat, God spoke once, but we heard it twice. One time in Parashat Yitro, Aseret HaDibrot, and the second time when Moshe Rabbeinu told it to us in Parashat Va'etchanan, with small changes because he wanted to explain things to us, and therefore God spoke once, but we heard it
twice.
And one time it said Shamor et Yom HaShabbat, and the other time he said Zachor et Yom HaShabbat. Make up your mind, which is it? And the answer is Shamor v'zachor b'dibur echad. They were said at one and the same time, but your ear can only comprehend one thing at a time. And if you don't believe that, have the radio going, have your child speaking to you, your husband and the phone. You could only hear one of them at a time. In another place, we're told in the Gemara as follows. Sometimes God said something once, but I heard it said another thing a second time. For example, it's forbidden to marry your brother's wife. But there is a mitzvah of yibum.
Yeah.
If your brother dies childless, it's a mitzvah. Those seem to contradict. Shtayim shamati. I heard that it's two. I didn't recognize that it's one and the same. I need to resolve that and synthesize it. So that's number one. Another example. It's forbidden to wear clothes made of wool and linen at the same time. But it's a mitzvah to make tzitzis of wool and linen. Which is it? Make up your mind. Ah, so you see, echat diber Hashem, shtayim shamati. So those are the various ways in which we learn that particular line. But in this particular case, God spoke once, and I heard two things. And those two things are that the real strength is not money. It is not social support. It is not political power. It is not physical power. He owes la'elokim. And I also learned that the Ribbono Shel Olam has, if you like, the quality of chesed and love. And I can choose to behave to people bedin or bechesed. And he will treat me ki ata tishalem le'ish kema'asehu. You will treat me and reward me as I will do to another's. So they may have been false to me. They have looked to my downfall, and I can try to take vengeance, be'elokim, or knowing my own imperfections, I can opt b'derech ha'chesed. And that was what this mantra is all. And therefore, ach el Elokim domi nafshi. Calm down. Don't get angry. Quiet. Quiet. The greatest of all victories is that you don't need to take vengeance.